Blog Talk Radio.
There's a better world to come and tell you why. There's a better world to come and tell you why. We will feed them on the land, on the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world to come and tell you why. There's a better world to come and don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free. There's a better world to come and don't you see?
Good evening. This is Mickey Roy sitting in for News Director Richard Spisak, who is on assignment. Welcome to the Progressive News Network. It is Sunday, October 14th. We have a really good show, lots of things to think about. And I wanted to let you know that we now have a way for all of you around the state to send us your information so that when we make announcements about what's going on, yours can be included. If you have an event, make sure you send it to us with enough time in advance. Send your event via email to news, N-E-W-S, news at newmercurymedia.com. That's all one word, news at newmercurymedia.com, and then we will be able to make as many announcements as possible of upcoming events in various parts of the state, as we try to do, but we can't collect everything. So this way, if you send it to us, now we have a place to for you to send it. And I have a really nice piece of news, and that is the Greg Palast, whom we've had on the show before and expect to have on the show again very soon, has written a new book. It's called Billionaires and Bandits, How to Steal an Election in 9 Easy Steps. And it just so happens that in the back of the book, he lists trustworthy media sources. And guess who's in there? PNN. Progressive News Network has been considered a trustworthy media source by Greg Palast, and we are honored to be included with all the other trustworthy news media sources that he lists. It's really kind of neat. Anyway, that's available online, and like I said, we're going to be having Greg on very, very soon, perhaps at the end of this month. We'll let you know as soon as we firm dates up. So I want to remind you also that this program has been brought to you by the Imagineering Productions Company and the Media Goddess Worldwide. So be sure when you need website, search engine optimization, public relations, marketing, of anything like that to support our sponsors because they're supporting you. And what else? Okay, on October 21st, the Space Coast Alliance hosts the Progressive Fest. It is 11 o'clock until 5 o'clock, and it's going to be, I can't pronounce this word, O-E-E-A-U-O Galley Civic Center, 1551 Highland Avenue in Melbourne, Florida. They have over 60 different organizations participating, and it's a kumbaya moment for all the progressives in that neck of the woods. So it might be something that you'd like to go to if you're near Melbourne. And also on October 27th, there will be Real Politique, and that's a monthly event. That happens, I think, once a month. And this particular time, October 27th, it starts at 6:15 with music by the Pink Slip Band. And then at 7 p.m., a screening of the Koch Brothers Exposed. And they always have a discussion afterwards. And this particular time, the discussion will be moderated by none other than Richard Spisak himself. So that should be a lot of fun, and the suggested donation is free. They'll be meeting at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship at 2601 South Andrews in Boca Raton in the sanctuary. So remember to send in your events to news at newmercurymedia.com, and I believe we have our first guest on the line. Lisa, is that you?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. This is Lisa Murano, and she is the Deputy Campaign Manager for Vote No on 6. Is that correct?
Yes, that is.
And you are a native Floridian.
Yes, born and raised, and I've only lived in Florida.
There you go.
Actually, most of the people in our campaign were born in Florida as well, so it's quite unique, I feel.
Well, the good news is you really, really know. You really, really
yes.
know what's going on because you've been here and you've seen how things have changed. And
absolutely.
So what? Tell me, what is going on? Where do you want to start?
Okay, well, I think at first I'd just like to explain to the listeners. First of all, let me give us some background on Amendment 6. So
okay.
Back in 2011, the Florida legislature, they introduced 18 anti-women's health bills, five of which passed. One of those bills created Amendment 6, which will be on our November 6th ballot. So for those of you that have already received your absentee ballots, you may have seen this. And for those of you that are voting on November 6th or early voting, you will see it on the ballot. And again, this language was written by the legislators, which means that it was deeply flawed. It was written by, a bunch of folks who do not have women's best interest at hand. So Amendment 6 is deeply flawed. Amendment 6 is just another attempt at political interference into personal decisions that are best made between a woman, her family, her faith, and her doctor. So it's more of the same government intrusion that we've seen for so many years now in the Florida legislature.
Okay. It's not flawed because it was done by the legislatures. It's done by because these happen to be Republicans in the legislature, right? And that's the way they lean.
It was introduced by two Republicans, and it did pass down pretty much party lines.
Yeah. Yeah. Just want to make that distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you got elected doesn't mean you're inherently bad. Sometimes there's good guys that get elected, we hope.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
There were plenty that voted against this and that stood up and saw through.
We just don't have a majority yet.
Unfortunately, the numbers weren't there. But I also want to talk about what Amendment 6 specifically does. It targets public workers. So you might be saying, well, who's a public worker? Public workers are those that we all rely on the most, like our public teachers, like doctors and nurses who work in public hospitals, like our first responders and firefighters who are there for us when we come in crisis or we come into contact with a family emergency. So Amendment 6 is specifically targeting those folks, and it's looking to take away health care coverage that they currently have today. Specifically, it targets end of pregnancy care. If a woman's health were threatened due to a pregnancy, Amendment 6 could ban her insurance from covering the medical care that she needs to protect her health, even if she's facing a serious illness like cancer. There's also no exception for help with ending a pregnancy when a woman's health is threatened or when there's a fetal abnormality or if her future fertility could be affected. So, again, it's very far-reaching. It's taking away health insurance coverage from those that we all rely on. And quite frankly, it's not even allowing for any exceptions to save the woman's health and to keep her healthy, which is just, beyond scary.
Well, I mean, really, do women matter? Guys, they smoke their little cigars and then they walk around puffing their chests out and they're like, oh, just go away. Just, be there when I need sex. And otherwise, I'm really not interested in what you have to say I don't really care whether you think anything or not. I mean, are we going back to the 50s or maybe the 40s? Or maybe we're going back even further. I'm not sure.
I feel like even further. I mean, as a young Floridian, as a young woman, it angers me so much that people of my generation are taking these rights for granted and that we are going back to the 40s, to the 50s, and maybe beyond, where we're looking at taking decisions away from women. I mean, I feel that I can make a better decision about my health than a politician like Rick Scott could. Rick Scott doesn't know me. How is he the best person to make my medical decisions? Rick Scott is not a medical doctor. So it's just scary, like you said, that. Mm-hmm. And it's scary that these politicians, just want to interfere and take these decisions out of a family's hands. These are decisions that I should be making with my family, with my medical doctor, in consultation with my faith values, not in consultation with some person in Tallahassee who's never met me and doesn't have my best interest at heart.
Yeah, It's a sad scenario, but this is just one of many attacks on women all around the country.
Absolutely.
There's lots of different things going on.
Exactly. And we see, you know, unfortunately, there's candidates up and down the ballot who are looking at taking away protections for women's health. So that's why it's important when people do go and vote for their presidential candidate, for their candidate for Senate, that they look all the way down that ballot and look at Amendment 6 and realize that not only are some of the candidates attacking women's personal decisions, but this is also coming in the attack of an amendment. And again, this is an amendment to our Constitution. This isn't some willy-nilly law that we could, you know, easily take away. This is something going to be ingrained in our state's most sacred document. And do we really want to place women as second-class citizens in our most sacred document? I think that's something that voters really need to think about.
Well, you know, Florida is one of the few, I don't know how many states are left. I don't know if it's five, I don't remember, but there's some states that have not ratified the Equal Rights Amendment, and unless something's changed, Florida's one of them. Florida has not ratified the Equal Rights Amendment. Yeah.
No,
so, you know, we got a long way to go here, and you've been here all this time. Well,
and, you know,
I want to tell
you,
if you feel frustrated, let me just, and I'm not going to say enough for anybody to figure it out, but all I can tell you is I marched for women's rights
mm-hmm.
when I was in college. So
mm-hmm.
for this stuff to be coming up now is so, it's beyond frustrating. It's like, what?
I mean, we
already did this. We thought we nailed this. We worked very hard. We did a lot of stuff. You know, everybody that was for women's rights was automatically labeled a man-hater and all kinds of, oh my, unbelievable because, you know, and this is, let me tell you something. I think this comes from a deep-seated fear of women. And this is not unique to this state or this country. It's all around the world. Maybe not some more intelligent countries, but there's a lot of them. And that's why the Middle East, I mean, there's a lot. It is time for women around the world to stand up and say, you know what, fella, if you want any, you better cut this stuff out. And I'm sorry, but that's what they're going to have to do because they listen to that. It's pathetic. No offense to my progressive brethren out there. I love you all. But meanwhile, this kind of stuff goes on. And it's
bigger. Well, I'm glad
that
you brought up progressive men. I think we need to look at progressive men.
But
we need to look at this not only as a women's issue, but we need to look at this as a human rights issue. Would men like having decisions taken out of their hands? I'm sure they wouldn't. I'm sure they would not want Rick Scott interfering in their medical decisions. And what's next? What are they going to attack next? I mean, we know they're already attacking birth control. Are they going to be attacking heart medication or, you know, other types of preventative health care? So I think that these people that write these kinds of laws and these kinds of initiatives need to understand that in the real world, things don't go perfectly. Unfortunately, pregnancies can go tragically wrong. And when that happens, we need to have the sensitivity and the understanding to respect a person to allow them to make their own decisions and not stomp in their medical room and have these politicians inserting their heads into a woman's doctor's office. It's very scary and it is a slippery slope. And you know who knows what will come next legislative session if we let something like Amendment 6 pass.
Absolutely, absolutely. And just in case anybody cares, the League of Women Voters and the National Organization for Women and probably some others that I'm not remembering have advised that we should vote no on all of the amendments because they're all deceptive
mm-hmm.
and they're all lousy. So for one reason
and
or another.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Like you said, the League of Women Voters is asking people to vote no on Amendment 6, the NAACP. There's tons of organizations statewide, nationally, that have come out against Amendment 6. There's also a coalition of faith groups that have come out, including Catholics for Choice, the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, and the National Council of Jewish Women. So there's all sorts of faith organizations that are saying, hey, our faith values and faith teachings do not agree with taking decisions out of a person's hands. Our faith values teach us to allow women to have the ability to make their own decisions. We have a list of those organizations, and it can be found on voteno6.com/coalitions. Also, there have been many editorial boards that have been coming out in the past week in opposition to Amendment 6, as well as the other amendments. So across the board, we see that this political power play is just not going to work, and Floridians are going to stand up against it.
I sincerely hope so, because this actually crosses the line of, you know, a separation of church and state, because it's in there. You have to dig a little bit, maybe, but it's in there. And I think Joe Biden was very good. His answer to that was very, very good about you can have your own personal belief. Nobody's stopping you from having your own personal belief. But what gives anyone the right to impose their belief on someone else? We're not supposed to do that in this country. We're supposed to have rights.
We are chipping away at rights. And I'm sure the legislators wouldn't like it if we as citizens told them what their health insurance could cover. I'm sure they would not like that one bit. So it's not fair for it to be the other way around. And again, it's just more political interference. And is that what we really need? We need them to be creating jobs. We don't need them to be telling me what I can and cannot do and what decisions I can and cannot make. It's offensive, and it's sad that instead of protecting women's health, they're more focused on taking away health care from those that
we
all rely on.
That's the key. They are public. They are supposed to be public servants. They're supposed to be for the public good. They are not supposed to be controlling the public. They're supposed to be doing things that help the common good. And when they start doing that, we'll all be better off. So is there – okay, so we're out of time for your segment, Lisa. It was so nice talking to you. Is there any last thing you want to leave people with?
Again, I would just ask the voters to vote no on this amendment. Of course, you know, do your research. Make sure that you're reading these amendments before you go to the ballot box, because they are long. But again, I think once you read through all the deceptive language, you will realize that this is just another political power play. This is just more politicians like Rick Scott inserting themselves into our personal medical decisions. So I encourage all of you to visit VoteNo6.com. We're phone banking. We're doing a lot of outreach activities. We have some special guests coming into town this week, including Gloria Steinem. So we'd love to have everyone involved in our campaign against Amendment 6. And again, that's VoteNoOn6.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lisa. And we
Thank
will
you.
Support you. And if you ever have something going on, you can always let us know, because now we have an official news thingy that we'll be reading
awesome.
Every week in us. Okay? Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
All righty.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Hello, Jorge.
Hello, Mickey.
How are you?
Mickey.
Yeah.
I'm doing
can
well,
you hear
Mickey.
Me?
Thank you for having me on.
Good, good, good. Okay. Jorge Aguilar is the Southern Regional Director of Food and Water Watch. So we have a big gun here with all the answers, no doubt. So tell us, Jorge. First of all, for those people who may not know, let's start with what Food and Water Watch is.
Yeah, Mickey. Food and Water Watch is a consumer protection group that works on food safety issues that has 15 offices around the country, including one in Broward County in Fort Lauderdale. And we are working on a campaign, and I'm going to talk about rights, and most folks take it for granted that they know what's in their food. And so we've just begun a campaign to identify genetically engineered ingredients that are being put into our foods daily and which most folks have actually no idea that are there. And so we've just launched a campaign in Florida called the Let Me Decide campaign with local organizers in Tampa, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Tallahassee, and West Palm Beach that are educating communities and legislators about the risks associated with GE foods and seeking to introduce state legislation that would make labeling a requirement, the labeling of GE foods a requirement in the state of Florida.
Cool. High time. High time, definitely high time that happens. And is it
Absolutely,
going now,
right?
Please. This is great. I know that this is on the ballot in California. So is this Let Me Decide going to be, are you working towards getting it? If you said it and I didn't hear it, I'm sorry. Are you working on putting that on the ballot here in Florida, or just how are we going to do that?
And yeah, and just for your listeners, right, who may not know about Proposition 37, it's an initiative that would require foods containing GE ingredients to be labeled in California. It was something that that hundreds, if not thousands, of actual groups supported in California, and they began a ballot initiative, which means they gathered enough petitions to put it on the ballot for a referendum on November 6th. And so Californians will be deciding to label their foods that are containing GE ingredients on November 6th. So in Florida, we've approached it a little differently. We are not seeking necessarily a ballot initiative in the same way. What we're seeking to do is to work it through the state legislature, right, to have an introduction of a bill. And we feel it's the same type of outreach where we are educating consumers. Because, again, most folks don't even know that, genetically engineered foods have not been tested for long-term impacts on human and environmental health safety, even though a growing body of research shows that biotech crops can have troubling health implications and even allergic reactions. Most folks, right, do not know that GE ingredients are a problem. And it's something that the companies that produce the GE ingredients have really kept consumers in the dark about. So we think, right, as part of our initiative to get a state bill that would label genetically engineered ingredients, that we also educate communities and citizens about the dangers associated with GE. I mean, after all, just as we label fat and sodium and sugar, labels should tell the buyer whether or not the product includes genetically engineered ingredients. I think we all have a right to know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And is it true that most of the time soy and corn have been genetically modified?
Yes. So, again, most folks
probably
don't know.
There's certain things
that
you pretty much can... Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That there is a prevalence of GE foods in grocery store. Right now, 80% of packaged foods like snacks and sugary breakfasts already contain GE ingredients. So, again, most of the packaged foods in American grocery store contain GE ingredients. And most conventional meat animals that we do shop for, you know, when we buy meat or that juicy steak from the supermarkets, they were also fed GE feed or GE alfalfa to get raised.
Yeah.
But I would point out, right, this is not just packaged foods. I think most recently there have been 3 or 4 products that are going to be marketed directly to consumers, and I'm talking about genetically engineered sweet corn, genetically engineered apples, and potentially down the future genetically engineered oranges that would be sold to the consumer. And these are generally made to be heavily doused with pesticides and potentially, what we at Food and Water Watch really are concerned about is that, again, most folks would go into a store, buy a product, and have absolutely no idea that it's been genetically altered, right?
Well, and the thing is that I don't remember. I read something a month ago whenever they did a study, or recently a study, and I forgot the period of time, but I think it was mice or it was rats, and they fed them genetically modified corn. And after a period of time, they had problems remembering things or something. Do you remember? There was a recent test, university.
Absolutely. I think you're referring to a study, I would say one of the first of its kind, a 2-year study out of France, peer-reviewed, that looked at rats and how they responded to a feeding trial with GE crops. And so they found some shocking findings, right, that they had a lot more mammary tumors caused by the disruptive effects of Roundup, which is a type of pesticide put out by Monsanto, liver and kidney damage, and lots of other things. And we see this as a study that's addressing some of these issues. Ultimately, sadly, we don't absolutely know all the health effects related to GE foods because this type of long-term study has not been done. Partly, you know, we as citizens really do rely on the FDA or the USDA to keep us safe, but this dysfunctional system in many ways has failed to protect consumers, mostly because the permitting process, right, the approval process for these type of GE ingredients has been, and the testing for it, right, and showing that it's safe, has been really left up to the companies. So the FDA does no independent testing of its own. It relies on the companies. And so this is, again, where we think, well, at the very least, consumers should have the right to know. And it's part of why the Let Me Decide campaign is looking to educate consumers about this issue and to give them a choice. Right? We should all have a choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We should. There's no question about it. It's really criminal. And it's getting worse. And it's kind of hitting all at once. But every time you turn around, it almost doesn't matter what you're talking about. It seems quite apparent that the reason that something does or does not happen has directly connected to how much money is behind it. How much money are the chemical manufacturing companies spending in California to defeat Proposition, what is it, 36, 37? How many million?
Unfortunately,
it's
right?
An enormous
I want to say
amount,
in the past
right?
10, right, an enormous amount. In the past 10 days or so, the anti-Prop 37, right, the folks who don't want to be labeled this have been spending, I think they have something about $35 to $40 million in their bank and are blanketing California with advertisements full of confusion and outright lies. And so these are the companies, again, that have really kept consumers in the dark. So among the highest contributors to the fight against Prop 37 who want to keep it off, we have the big six companies like Monsanto, DuPont, BASF, Dow, Bayer, Syngenta, and also food manufacturers like Pepsi and Nestle, Coca-Cola, and a bunch of other ones. And so these are the folks really, again, that have taken GMB and included it in their products. And like I said before, mostly kept consumers in the dark about whether or not their food product contains GE ingredients or not.
Well, the interesting thing I found when I did a little bit of reading about this a long time ago, it was that their contention is that there's nothing wrong, that it's perfectly safe, which, of course, they have no clinical evidence to justify that statement, that it's perfectly safe, and that if you label this food, then people would get hysterical and they wouldn't buy it. It's all about the money. And they are thinking they're going to lose money, which they will, and they deserve to lose, in my opinion, because people don't know now, and if they don't know, they'll buy anything. If they do know, they might choose not to, and that's what they're afraid of. But they must be seriously big-time bad afraid if they're spending that many millions of dollars in that short a period of time.
Well, Mickey, I think they're right. This is one of the most intimate choices that we have, right? You can imagine, you know, parents going to supermarkets and buying food products, and they largely rely on labels and largely rely on, you know, the traditional what they've fed their families. And so this is an issue, again, that most folks don't know about. They don't know about the health risks related to potential allergies. And as GE ingredients continue to be further included in the food products that we buy in grocery stores, you know, more people are becoming aware that this is an issue that they should have a right to know, independently a right of whether companies are or not making profits out of these products. It's an intimate choice, and we do have a right to
We do. I totally agree. Is wheat a genetically modified food, generally, in this country?
I don't recall wheat being on the list. It might. I would say
because somehow
that
I seem to think it is. All I know is that I used to be able to eat stuff that had wheat in it, and I can't do it anymore. I can't eat wheat because if I do, I get a reaction. I have like an intolerance. And when I did a little research, once again, a little knowledge sometimes is dangerous. But you know, based on what I read, is that it is genetically modified, and people have developed because they've messed around with the chromosomes or what. I'm not a scientist. Whatever it is in there, they've messed around with it, and as a result, it's not processed in your body the same way, and that's when you develop these intolerances.
So, right, allergic reactions are a major food safety concern related to GE foods. But without labeling, right, we cannot trace the ingredients that might cause the severe type of reactions. And so this is, right, a big hole, right, a big problem for folks like the FDA or the USDA, who are always seem to be a step behind when we're having a lot of recalls. For instance, people are always hearing about recalls. But when it comes to GE ingredients, there would be no way to know if it's a GE ingredient that's causing that reaction. I would add that it's not just crops, though. Actually, there's a first animal product. I'm talking specifically about genetically engineered salmon that is actually still awaiting approval from the FDA, and it could come down at any moment. And so I just want your listeners to hear this one, because when we talk about genetically engineered, I should actually be more specific. This is it takes a salmon egg, and it takes the genes from an eel and genetically transfuses it and combines it with another type of salmon, grows it in the eggs, right? And then this egg is meant to produce a fish that grows about twice as fast to market size, right? The whole point of this is to get it to market quicker than the normal salmon. And the FDA is looking at it, but because they don't have the regulatory framework for GE products, they're actually approving it and looking at it as a drug. So,
oh, for Pete's sake, it's a frankenfish.
Yes, it is a frankenfish. That's what it's most commonly referred, and even the folks looking at it at the FDA have referred to problems with this new fish and their inability to really gauge how safe or not it is. But once again, folks would have no idea they went to the market, right, and are buying fish whether or not this is a product that was genetically engineered.
Unbelievable. So what is it, what's going on in Florida that you can tell us about that our listeners should
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. So we just launched it, I think it's about 4 months in now, and we've just recently launched our Let Me Decide G-labeling campaign in Florida. We have three offices in South Florida, in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and West Palm Beach. And so far, over 50 social justice, environmental, consumer, and business groups from around the state have signed on in support of labeling GE foods. And the idea, as I mentioned to you before, is to really educate people about the environmental and health risks associated with GE ingredients, and ultimately, right, creating the sort of political will that's going to be necessary to, right, move a state bill through the Florida legislature and give consumers and residents of Florida the right to know and the ability to decide on whether they do or don't want genetically engineered ingredients in their food.
So do we have, right now, do we have any congresspeople? I'm not sure if it's a congressperson or a senator that would be sponsoring the bill. Do we have anybody yet that has said, yes, I'll sponsor it or co-sponsor it or anything?
We've just begun. We have not had a commitment from anybody. And I want to tell you the folks that we are really looking at in the South Florida area are, in Miami, we have Anitair Flores, the Republican congressional whip. I mean, she's a pretty powerful and key player in the legislature. In Broward, we're looking at Senator Sobel. And then in Palm Beach County, we're looking at Representative Mark Pafford.
Yay!
So those are the three.
Mark Pafford. He's our guy.
He's our guy.
We've had him on many times. He is a true
progressive. Absolutely. So I encourage folks. Absolutely encourage folks.
An interesting thing. So you're reaching across the aisle, and because this is a nonpartisan issue.
Absolutely.
It really is a nonpartisan issue. Food. Everybody eats food.
Absolutely, and I know that it may seem that right. We're working just progressives. We are nonpartisan. We're working with everybody. This is something that we feel everybody gets, right? This is, as I said before, is a very personal choice that we make about the foods we eat, and we should have a right to know exactly what it is we're shopping for. So this is something that reaches across, party lines. It's not a political issue.
No, it's only for people who eat.
Yes.
So is there a website, a phone number? Is there anything anybody in Florida, where should they go to the Food and Water Watch website, or if they want to help?
Absolutely.
Or do you need help or anything?
Absolutely. And as I mentioned a few legislators. So one thing, we are definitely encouraging folks to reach out and call their state legislators. We're in the middle of campaign season right now. So it's something that we want to put out there for folks to look at as we head into the 2013 session. But yeah, we'd like folks to really reach out to them, but also to work with us, right? It's going to take an organized effort to defeat the likes of these big companies that are going to fight every step of the way to keep us from having the right to know. So yeah, they can check out foodandwaterwatch.org, or they can go to our Florida Facebook page, which is called Food and Water Watch Florida, for daily updates on where our campaign is at and where they can meet our organizers.
Great. Food and Water Watch Florida. No, I got that wrong. Let me write it down. Food and Water Watch Florida.org?
No, right. It's foodandwaterwatch.org is our main page. And then for daily Florida Facebook updates, it's called Food and Water Watch Florida.
Okay. So you go to the main website, which is Food and Water Watch, and then you go to daily updates. I don't know. I'm sure it's clear
there.
At the
main page, you would at the main page itself, actually, and I know this can be confusing. The Food and Water Watch, you can find information about Prop 37. We actually just had a few celebrities do an ad for us in support of Prop 37 to get word out. But you'll see right in, as you hit the main page, information about genetically engineered foods. And then for Florida specifically, right, you can go to our Facebook page, which is called Food and Water Watch Florida.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jorge, so much for filling us in and letting us know what's going on.
Absolutely. Anytime,
anytime,
Nikki.
Great, great. When you have something going on, be sure to let us know.
I will.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Nikki.
Good night. Mike?
That's me.
That's you. We have Mike Moskos on the line, our next guest. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
It's nice to be done with you.
We're happy to have you. We're happy to have you and expect you to give us all kinds of information about what's going on down there in Miami-Dade County, where I used to live many years ago. So let's see here. I'm looking at this. We know you're an entrepreneur. I'm going to let you tell us about that. You're on the board of the Florida Association of Community Farmers Markets, and you're a member of the Miami-Dade chapter of the Florida Food Policy Council, among other things. So tell us about localfoodsouthflorida.org.
Okay, so it's a website for finding sources of local food, particularly nutrient-dense local food.
Okay, we're talking about local foods. What are we talking about before you go on? Just define local
food. We're talking about everything from farmers markets, produce CSAs, produce buying clubs, food clubs.
What's a CSA?
A CSA is Community Supported Agriculture. And so the way that they were originally set up was a sort of a financing scheme for really tiny farmers. So you would sign up for a share, and you would pay up front in the beginning. This was years ago. And what that farmer produced, you would get a share of every week. You couldn't really decide what you wanted. They would just supply you a share of what was produced that week, and whatever they harvested.
So it's community what?
I'm
writing this down now because I won't remember for 5 seconds. I'm sorry. Community what?
That's all right. Community supported agriculture.
That's it. Community supported agriculture.
Agriculture.
So you have guys on there.
Correct.
And you have, what was the other things you said?
Food clubs.
Food clubs.
Food clubs typically supplying pastured meat and dairy products. Anything
animal-related.
Okay.
So food clubs are mostly meat and dairy. And community-supported agricultural CSAs are mostly vegetables and fruits?
Yes, mostly vegetables and fruit. Although we're seeing some hybrids of both. You know, sometimes people will, typically it's the CSA or the produce buying club that will make arrangements to get meat or eggs from another supplier or a local farmer and supply that, you know, along with their shares, either as an add-on or just an automatic, you know, automatically with their shares.
So now, we just got off the phone with the Food and Water Watch Southeast Regional Director, and they're, you know, starting a campaign in Florida to get genetically modified food labeled.
Correct.
The farmers that are involved in these kinds of organizations, do they have genetically modified foods?
No, and that's the plus.
Good. That's a big plus. That's why I'm asking, just curious,
exactly.
Just checking. Okay, so you, on this website, you have community-supported agriculture.
Correct.
Things, and then food clubs,
produce,
and what else?
Produce buying clubs.
What's the difference between a food club and a produce? Okay, so it's the vegetables and fruits versus the dairy and meat.
Right, so in produce, you have two options, unless you're going to go to the grocery store or Whole Foods or something, or a farmer's market. You can go to directly to the farmer in a CSA, and sometimes now you pay up front, and sometimes you pay, you know, there might be a quarterly payment or a monthly payment. You know, they've all changed their working arrangements to make it a little bit easier for people to join.
Mm-hmm.
That's option A. And you're sort of part of a community with these farmers. You know, they'll have farm days, and you interact with the farmer, and the produce is picked very recently. You know, a lot of these farmers try to harvest the day before you get it. So typically,
wow, that's seriously fresh.
Exactly, exactly. So they'll harvest one afternoon, and they'll pack it, they'll put it onto a truck, and then they'll deliver it to multiple locations around town so it's easier to pick it up.
Dade County is a very big county, as I recall.
Yes. And by the way, these exist in every county in Florida.
Oh, that's nice. Actually, I saw something. It was like 16 something or others in Palm Beach County. I don't remember what they were anymore, but there was 16 of them. I think they were CSAs. I'm not sure. I forgot.
I
should have looked it up again.
I don't think there's that many.
Well, I saw it somewhere, and I don't remember, but that's typical. So, okay, so on this website, which is local food or foods?
No, food.
With an S?
Food.
Local food.
South Florida, right.
Localfoodsouthflorida.org.
Correct.
That's the website.
Mm-hmm.
All one word, local food, South Florida. I sound like, do you remember how they, I don't know, there was a long time ago, there used to be a cooking show with Melinda Lee. I don't know if you got it here or not. Never mind, but she used to.
No.
No? Okay, well, they used to do, and they would
do
recipes.
I don't remember that one.
No, it's okay. It was on the, probably when I was in Los Angeles. That's probably where I heard it anyway. Okay, local food. What did I just say? Oh, God, this is awful. Local food. Website.
Localfoodsouthflorida.org.
South Florida. Spell out Florida.
Mm-hmm.
.org. Okay, and on this website, we have CSAs, and we now know what they are. We have food clubs, we now know what they are. We have produce buying clubs.
Produce buying clubs. And the produce buying clubs, what they're doing is they're trying to lower the cost of organic produce. What someone will do is assemble a box every week. They work with an organic distributor, typically Global Organics out of Sarasota, I believe, and they'll make up a box for you, and you pay a certain fee every week for that, and then they'll deliver that to a location near your house. Then you go and pick it up.
So they deliver to a close, based on your zip code or something, whatever's closest to your... Something like that.
Exactly.
Okay. You pick it up. Okay. But you pick
it up
anyway.
Some of them do offer a home delivery.
Okay. By the way, you just started coughing. Last time we spoke, you weren't coughing.
Yeah,
I'm assuming this is a new development. No. It's a, I mean,
I'm sorry.
You're coughing. The only reason I'm saying that is because I didn't have a chance, and I won't, I'm sure, but I just want to draw everybody's attention to the front page of the Palm Beach Post. And if you're not in a place where you get the Palm Beach Post, I haven't read a newspaper in a long time. I always look at it online. I got to tell you, I really like the smell of newsprint. It was nice. Anyway, it's on the internet too. It was posted today, and there is a tuberculosis outbreak in Florida. And so it's a really good story. It's and great investigative reporting by Stacey Singer, Palm Beach Post staff writer. And this outbreak of tuberculosis is out of Jacksonville. And it's a long story, but basically what they did is they sat on the information instead of cooperating with the Center for Disease Control. They were actually trying to sit on the information, not do anything about it. And even when the Center for Disease Control was becoming alarmed, it is a great story. Everybody needs to read it. And that because they finally started to go, because it started in where the homeless was or something, but then it migrated. And the point is, it could become an epidemic. It's definitely an outbreak. And they weren't treating it as such. They were trying to sweep it under the rug, and they weren't doing anything about it. And then they closed a hospital wherever Lantana, I don't know if it's the Lantana in Palm Beach County or Lantana some other place in Florida, they closed a hospital that was there for TB. The day that the thing came out, the report came out about this tuberculosis, is when they closed that hospital. And Mr. Scott has been very busy trying to privatize all the medical clinics and so forth and so on that have to do with this. That's all he's about, is making money and making money for his cronies and privatizing as many things as he possibly can. This article is a must-read. It is a must-read, especially if you're coughing. But anyway, that's what reminded me. That's all. I'm certain, I sincerely hope you don't have tuberculosis. So, but I'm just saying.
No, I hope not.
I hope not. But I read this article and I went, and I remember the thing about the coughing, and you started coughing. I'm like, oh, yeah. I didn't get to talk about that. So anyway, read that.
I was out volunteering at a big seedling sale down in the Redlands on Homestead today and yesterday, and it's probably just too much sun exposure. So.
I hope you wore sunblock.
No, of course not.
Michael, you're such a guy.
I don't know what's in that stuff.
You're such a guy. Well, but aren't there all of it? All of it is bad. Nothing is.
I'm sure there's probably some that you can buy, but
this is the nightmare
scenario.
I'm usually
very careful, so
you don't know half the time. You don't know what's what, so you're afraid to do anything, and then it's like, well, I can't do this, and then you turn to a different direction. Like, well, I don't know what that is either, and you can't do that, and pretty soon you feel like you're boxed in. And that's when it really gets frustrating. I can't eat this because I don't know what's in it. I can't do this because I don't know what. It's very frustrating. It really is, because you want to do the right thing for you and your family, and you know.
And you don't really know what
the
right thing is.
Nah.
Exactly.
Hello.
Exactly.
So this is a great service. Now, does this localfoodsouthflorida.org? So are you? Is it only Miami-Dade County?
No,
you cover
all. It covers from Vero down to Key West.
Okay. Well, that's a nice swath.
So it's a broad swath of what could be defined as South Florida. You know, typically people will define it as Palm Beach, Broward, and Dade County, or Miami-Dade County. But I just went a little further because somewhere the state defined it as, those five counties. So I went all the way.
Wow, you went all the way. Okay. Good for you. Good for you.
Because the problem is that, there's so much of this food available, and it wasn't really available just a few years ago, and people don't even know that it's right around them. They don't know where to find it.
Well, yeah. Marketing and advertising come in. Hello.
Exactly.
That's what we do.
They just don't know where to go. So.
No. That's nice to know that there's lots and lots of places where they can get it. That is definitely something that's a very well-kept secret. You definitely have to be running in the right circles, and I'm so glad that I came across your name. So now look at all the thousands of people that are going to know about this. This is really fantastic, and we can really increase this, because the truth is it's all about the money, and the more people buy organic and the more people that get into this, the greater the demand will be, and the more money people can make, and the bigger their stores or distribution networks or whatever it is gets, and it's like a little chain of events.
That's exactly what's happening. It's increasing at like a steady rate, and that means that every year it seems like it just blossoms from the year before. You know, like whatever there was last year I thought it completely exploded in Miami-Dade. And I guarantee you there's going to be far more this year. Because now we're getting into all the seasonal farmers markets. You know, our growing season is just starting. And everything is, all these seasonal markets that were closed all through the summer are all beginning to open up again.
That's right. Well, yeah, they do seasonal stuff. They do.
Right.
But they're getting what even in the regular stores, I've noticed larger organic produce sections, which isn't necessarily the answer to everything. But if the regular grocery stores have, and I'm not saying they're perfect, I'm just saying it's significant that they acknowledge that it's there. Because if they acknowledge that it's there, that means there's a high level of demand. Otherwise, they wouldn't even be bothered.
You're absolutely right.
So that's a good thing.
Right.
You
and
know,
for
you
them,
have to look at it that way. Yeah.
And for them, their distribution model is not set up to buy in small quantities. You know, it's they're meant to aggregate, bring it to a central warehouse or a couple of central warehouses, and then very efficiently distribute that to stores to keep the price as low as possible. Now, it may not seem like the price is as low as possible, but that's what they're trying to do. And so as more and more people ask for fresher and local food, you know, they're changing their distribution model, albeit slowly, but they are changing it so they can buy directly within the county. And we'll get to a point where you'll see farmers, you know, dropping off produce directly to, let's say, an individual Whole Foods store or an individual Publix or an individual Winn.
You think? Really?
Yeah, I think we'll get to that point. That's
wow.
A few years off, but we're going to get there. We're going to go back to the way it was 50 years ago. You know, they will start to empower the local produce manager to buy what he or she, you know, finds it's good.
Wow.
It's
wow,
not
wow,
that far
wow.
off, trust me, because people want
how
it.
How cool is that? Well,
and
yeah,
will,
I mean, I think...
They will
I
deliver
think people,
what people ask for.
The average person, I think, if they knew anything, if they had a choice, I think they'd be happy to know that they're supporting local farmers. I don't think anybody would mind that. I think, you know, even people that aren't...
Oh, not at all.
I don't think they would like that.
There's really two ways to look at this. First of all, it's really good for the local economy, because you're putting somebody locally, you know, you're supplying a job. And that money tends to circulate in the local economy, you know, much more. It doesn't go off, the profits don't go off to some centralized location and get distributed. But much more importantly, particularly in produce, as soon as something is picked, like instantly, it starts to lose nutritional value. So the longer, the older produce is, the less nutritious it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if something came from California and it took 5 days to get here, you know, by the time it got picked and sorted and washed and packaged and put on trucks, and then it comes over here and it goes in from one cooler to another cooler before it makes it, you know, onto the grocery store produce section. You know, it's 5 or 6 days old. And if you can get it where it was picked just a couple of days before or even the day before, you know, suddenly nutritionally that produce there's just a big increase in the nutritional value. And it's worth more. You know, it's more valuable.
Is that what nutrient dense means?
Correct, correct.
Ah.
And if you think about it, you know, your body, you really can only eat so many calories every day before you start to become, how should I put this, a land whale. Before you become really sick.
A land whale.
Boy,
we got a lot of those floating around.
I know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But,
that's too funny.
But... Anyway, so you can absorb, you can take in so many calories before you start to gain weight. You know, and that happens to all of us as we get older. It's just a natural
yeah.
sort of thing.
Yeah, the hormonal changes and everything, it's difficult sometimes.
It's,
but
yeah,
you don't have
you
to become
older,
a land whale.
Right, it becomes much more difficult to lose weight, no question about it. But if you purchase food that's more nutrient dense, for every calorie you're getting more of those vitamins, minerals, micronutrients, et cetera, to keep you healthy. So,
okay.
You know, if you're paying more for something that's more nutrient dense, you're actually, it's a far better value than cheaper food that has less vitamins in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the clock. I have 5 minutes.
Okay.
So,
okay. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Distracted
so
slightly. That's okay.
Sorry.
So,
okay, yeah,
5 minutes. That's what we have. So,
okay.
What do we need to
okay.
talk about in those last 4 minutes and 15 seconds or whatever it is?
Okay. Well, let me tell you a couple other things real quick. Let's see. What else can I tell you? So, if you go onto the website, you can find all these sources of food, and they literally go, it covers every area from, you know, Indian River County all the way down to Monroe County in the Keys.
Mm-hmm.
And you can choose, you know, to make it more convenient for yourself by buying from a CSA or a produce buying club, or you can go the full route and, you know, buy your meat and dairy from a food co-op. It just all sort of depends on how far you want to go into this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, we're just at the beginning of our growing season down here. So
mm-hmm.
the next couple of months are when everything, you know, really great starts to come into Florida. You know, the produce gets really good and all the farmers markets start opening up. So, you know, for someone who hasn't even looked around, now's the time to start looking around because, you know, there might be a farmer's market right around you that is really close and has really great stuff.
How do you know, I don't know if you can answer this, but how do you know if the farmer really grew the food? And because sometimes I get the impression that they're just, you know, they're buying it at a wholesale or someplace and they just happen to be selling it at a farmer's market. I don't know, are there rules at a farmer's market that they have to have grown the food?
No, that's a really good one, because I would say the majority of the farmers markets in South Florida are of the type that you're talking about. You know, they have a lot of prepared foods, and a lot of the produce is just the same stuff that you could get at Publix or Whole Foods. You know, it's no different.
I don't want to do that.
Right.
How do I tell? What do I look for?
Well, then there's a second type of farmer's market where you're going to see more actual farmers, and they will typically have their farm name on the booth.
Ah, okay, look for
okay.
a farm name.
And if you start to see, it's really dependent on what the farmer's market manager wants to do. You know, some of these farmer market managers are very oriented towards local foods, and that's all they want in the market. They may have a little bit of the rest to supply things like, they may have a produce vendor, for example, that sells things that we don't have here, like apples, garlic, plums, pomegranates, you know, things that people want, but they can't, that doesn't grow locally. But the majority of the food, if you just look around, you can kind of get a sense of what's going on there. You'll figure it out real quickly, which type of market it is. But even at the markets that are not oriented towards that local, that don't have that strict local orientation, they're all moving more local because all the people who are walking in the door are saying, was this grown here? You know, I want something that's really fresh, and they're willing to pay a little bit more for it. So the vendors are saying, we need to get this produce in here.
Okay.
So no matter what the market is right now, 6 months from now, it's probably going to be better. Because
okay.
customers asking for it.
Okay. All right. The woman just buzzed in my ear with a recording thing in 90 seconds.
Oh,
anyway,
sorry.
What are your last thoughts that you want to leave the audience with so they, we know the website. We definitely know the
okay.
website. Is there anything,
okay,
any event, any kind of anything going on there?
Yes. So this on the 24th of this month is Food Day. And in West Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade, there are big events going on. We probably don't have enough time to tell you what they all are, but in West Palm and Broward, they're both on the 24th, and in Miami-Dade, it goes on from the 19th to the 24th, and you can just look on the website to see what they are. But if you had an inkling to get involved in local food, those are the events where you can go and get inspired or meet local people in the movement. You know, if there were one time of year to get involved and to spend an afternoon at a seminar, this is the month.
Okay, so October 24th. 19 through 24 in Dade County, and in Brown and West and Palm Beach County, October 24th. And that all complete information will be at localfoodsouthflorida.org.
Correct.
And it's called, is it called Food Day?
Food Day.
That's it?
That's it. Bye.
Okay. I'm sorry. I got to play my little gong and we're out of here. But thank you so much,
Mike.
Right. And let us know when something else is happening.
You.
Good night.
Okay.
Thanks.
Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I made it.